And again, right after we're done, I just need to meet with the deacons just for a couple minutes, fill you in on what's going on and ask for your wisdom. So if I could just meet with the deacons just a couple minutes after we get done with a message. All right, we're looking at Zechariah. And again, just a reminder to you, and I'll repeat this so you get it in your brain. Zechariah and Haggai were co-workers. Haggai started in the sixth month, and then on the 24th day of the sixth month in the second year of Darius, they began the work on the 24th day. It was after his first proclamation to them. But Zechariah was alongside him. And so what people don't realize is then on the eighth month and the 24th day, it was exactly 2 months that Zechariah gave his message from the Lord. And again, you haven't seen it yet, but this is how he started it. And then in one night, he had eight visions, and he gave the visions to the people. And that was in the eighth month. Then on the ninth month, Haggai comes back and delivers, I think, one of the greatest messages I've ever heard about how that look at your life before you live for the Lord, and look at how you needed and you were just without. Your life wasn't miserable, but it was out. But then after you gave your life to the Lord, look at the way he provided. And again, that was very true in my life. What a difference as I look back when I gave my life to Christ. And so the message rang clear. And in, for the next 3 years, they finished the temple and completed the task God had sent them to. So that was, Haggai was key in the sixth and the ninth month. But I think we don't give Zechariah, I didn't give Zechariah any credit before I studied this out because I didn't know his participation in this. But he delivers a message to the people, and verses 1-6 is the beginning of the message. And I'm gonna skip over some of it because we've covered quite a bit of it. But the first thing he in verses 1-6, now again, Zechariah had two different crowds. The first point he was talking to that we talked about last week was he was speaking to the people who came down just for the ride. They came down maybe to get out of Babylon. Now, what was the purpose of leaving Babylon to come down to Jerusalem? Why did God raise up a remnant? To rebuild the temple. That was the purpose. They left Babylon. And I don't think God's and Zacharias or God are holding them to it, that if they didn't go down and they didn't fulfill the purpose, Zechariah calls it sin. They were sinning because that was the purpose. You know, and I think the same is true in our lives. As I thought about this, I've been thinking about this a ton. The older I get, maybe the more I preach, that I watch and see that there's people who make a decision for Christ, but it amounts to nothing. They may have made a prayer, but they're not faithful. They're along for the ride of being a Christian, I think, the excitement of a Christian. Maybe they know a little bit about the rapture, or they know a little bit about the end times, and they're just along for the ride. And again, if they truly got saved, there should be a transformation to a point. I'm not saying a complete change, but it could be. But there has to be some sign, the mount, because all of a sudden now the Holy Spirit lives within you. And when you didn't have love before, now you've got the love of God. You've got the agape love that is within you. Now you have the ability to have that love. It comes with the Holy Spirit, brings joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and meekness and kindness. If you read that passage, you were this before and now you have the Holy Spirit. There has to be some amount of change. But I think there's a lot of people who call themselves Christians are just along for the ride. And if they are truly born again, and they're just along for the ride and go through the motions, I think it's sin. If that includes you, I think it's sin. I think it's sin for you not to come to a point where you want to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, you want to make a difference in somebody's life. You want to make a difference in the church. You want to make an impact in your family. You want things to be different. There's a love for Christ. There's a little bit of a passion for the Word of God. And you'll listen to me on these as I tell you to read the Bible, but just don't read the Bible to read the Bible. Read the Bible to learn the Bible. Bring a commentary alongside. Bring something along. I know it takes a lot more time. I know I'm doing it. And it's going to take me longer to read the Bible through than I've ever taken me to read the Bible through, but I'm going to do it. But the things I'm learning, the things I'm seeing from Leviticus and Deuteronomy as I do that, that's where most people quit reading the Bible through. But when you read it along with a commentary that helps you to understand it, the Bible is so amazing. Moses' last speeches, the time from the time he found out he couldn't go into the Promised Land to the time he went up on the mount and saw the Promised Land and God took his life, that time in Deuteronomy, just the speeches he gave to Israel, the talks he gave to Israel, the knowledge and wonder that Moses had, it's just amazing. You know, you read through Zechariah. I'm telling you, if you just read through Zechariah without studying it, bringing along study helps. Unless you're way, way more intelligent than I, you'll read it and say, I'm not really sure what this said. I know, I did that for years. I read the Bible through almost 70 times. But I've never enjoyed it as much as I enjoy it now. But what I'm trying to say is he was preaching to a group of people that left Babylon and just came for the ride. I don't know if they want a new start, new lease on life. Start a new business in a new area. Some of them just wanted to maybe leave Babylon. They didn't care for Babylon. It was still captivity no matter which way you looked at it. They had a lot of privileges. And even in Persia under Darius and Ahasuerus and the different things, the Jews had some privileges. They had their own community. But it wasn't the same. They still weren't free. I'm not sure why some of the people, that remnant of 42,000, but not all of them. I always thought they came down to rebuild the temple. That's what they left for. That was the remnant, and that was the purpose. But Zechariah saw something different. He saw the people who didn't come down and to rebuild the temple. They came down. You know, I think they would still go to the temple. I think they would consider themselves part of Jews and part of Jerusalem as it would be rebuilt. So it's not like they neglected or didn't want to be a part of the Jewish life. It's just that's not why they came down. But I think it was sin. And that's what he does. And so in verses 1 through 6, I'm not going to take time to read it again, but that's what he's calling out. That's the group of people he's talking to in verses 1 through 6. And he talks about this, God judges sin. And we went through this. I don't need to go through all of it again. But he, you know, God judges sin. And the sin was, the proof was in the pudding. Israel, the northern kingdom was in captivity since 721 BC through the Assyrians. And God literally brought down great judgment upon them because of their whoredom, because of the wickedness that they had. And you know, God didn't judge them immediately. But in time, God judged them. God didn't judge Jerusalem immediately. But in time, God judged Jerusalem, and the temple was destroyed. The city, that's what they're in. It was all destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar. And hundreds and thousands of lives were taken. I mean, it just disrupted, and then most of them were taken into captivity. They lost the small remnant that went first was people like Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, the young people. They lost their sharpest, best young people just snatched right out of their families and taken over to Babylon to turn them into Babylonians. They lost a lot. Judgment. God judges sin. It took a while, but God judges sin, and that's what he's telling these folks. He said, you came down, and it should have been with a purpose. The purpose was to rebuild the walls. 15 years, nothing happened. It was sin. And make no mistake, God judges sin. And that's the principle he's making. And again, I use this illustration, and I read it once more time this week. But, you know, when Moses went up and looked at the land of Canaan, it was beautiful. It flowed with what? Milk and honey. I'm telling you, it was lush. It was green. It was beautiful. But as Dr. McGee said, he went to that same mountain and looked over the land of Canaan. And you know what he saw last time he was there? Desert, wilderness, rock. What changed? God did. That was God's judgment upon Israel. Do you know how much land Israel was supposed to have? It was like 300,000 miles of acres. It was just massive. And they've ended up with what they have, and they're fighting to keep what they have. Just a little, little tiny fraction. And when those countries say that's not Israel's land, they're wrong, because it is Israel's land. It was given to them. Why don't they have it today? Disobedience. They went after the gods. It's neat how Moses said, whenever you go into a place and you see the gods, you're supposed to tear it down, burn it, break it down, get rid of it. Leave no resemblance of anything. And if a city, you know, and Dr. McGee said this in my devotions, he said, this may sound harsh to you, but God said, if you find a city that's given over to idolatry, kill them all. Kill the entire city. If you have a brother or sister or mother or father that brings an idol into your home, you're to stone them. Doesn't that sound awful harsh? But God knew the results. God knew what would happen. And God judges sin. So that's the first point he made. But he was talking to a remnant that came down that many of them didn't come for the right purpose. And because they didn't come to rebuild the temple, Zechariah calls it sin. So it's not going to be hard to believe, I think, when I'm done with Zechariah, that they probably did stone him between the temple and the altar. They probably did. They were tired of him. Haggai had some great messages, but Zechariah, he came down on these people. He said, you came down? You left with the 42,000, you came down here and you're not building the temple, you're living in sin. And God judges sin. But then he has a second group he gives to. And the idea behind it, as you read this, and this is what I gathered from it, that past judgments are a warning for us to turn from sin. Past judgments, they're a warning for us to turn from sin. I think he's talking to a different crowd now. I think he laid out his message to those who came and don't want to participate in the rebuilding of the temple, rebuilding of Jerusalem. They want the results of it. They want to worship. They want to do those things, but that's not what they came down to do. He said it's sin. And God judges sin. And he gave the history of Israel and all their sin and God's judging of sin. But there's a second group there that now I think he's beginning to talk to, as I understand this passage better. I think he's talking to people who weren't, they were there to rebuild the temple, but not wholeheartedly. They didn't love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all their mind. That Larry talked about that in Sunday school, and it's been a very interesting Sunday school lesson. I've enjoyed this one and the one he's into right now about loving your enemies and doing right by your enemies. It's some great, wonderful truths that he's presenting. But it just made me realize how much I've been studying, and that's what Moses constantly told the Israelites. You need to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. And if you don't, this is where you're going to end up. And that's what I'm going to tell you. That's what Zechariah, he's talking to a crowd that they went to rebuild the temple. They worked, but they weren't wholly committed to God. They weren't wholly committed. Now that doesn't... He doesn't call them sinners because they are doing what God called them to do. But I thought about this. As this church was established in like 1980, some of you were there. Some of you are charter members. Mr. Kemp is the evangelist who we've supported, who I don't think you newer folks have ever met him. He's the one who lost his wife, Ruby. She passed away, a month ago? Thereabouts, he's coming up this way, and I'm asking him to preach for us on a Sunday. And he's getting back into the ministry. He is going to go back in the ministry with the letter we got today. And so I'm really pleased with that because he's a wonderful preacher, but he was a charter member of this church. But you know what? I think there's a lot of people who, when this church established itself to become a church, I think a lot of people got on board because it's new. It's pretty exciting. You know, want to be a part of something like that. Yeah, and I'm tired of the old preacher. So, you know, I'm going to look for an opportunity. This is a great opportunity. I think there were people, I wasn't there. I was in college when this church started. And they didn't meet here in this building. They met in Lorden School, if I remember correctly, then Daisy Brook, and then over to here. And then it became work because they did most of the work on this building right here. I got pictures of Tom and those guys up on those purlins up there, just walking around up there. I don't even know you guys. Back then, I didn't even know you would have a video. Maybe they weren't videos. Maybe they were just pictures. But, you know, there were some people along for the ride. I think that was sin. But then there were some people that, and most of them would have been gone in a few years because they're just along for the ride. And when it's not what they thought it was going to be and they don't get all their ideals, they move on to another church. You're going to have that. That's just typical. But then there's some people who were in the church, but they stuck by it. They were pretty faithful, but they weren't wholeheartedly. They didn't wholeheartedly want to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Not wholeheartedly. That's the group here. That's the group he's talking to in verses 1 through 6. So the central point of Zechariah's message about to the remnant was that they were aware of what had overtaken their fathers for their refusal to hear God's word, the sin. God judges sin. And they could have hardly escaped that knowledge for the fact that they came out of Babylon, where they were taken into captivity. You know, they were examples in that God gave to bring about the reminder to them of their lack of wholeheartedness, repentance, obedience. I think that's the idea. And Moses said, if you don't love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, down the road, Israel still existed as a nation, but was it doing what God wanted it to do? Absolutely not. You know, if Faith Baptist Church doesn't have a commitment to the Lord thy God, not a commitment to me, not a commitment to this church, but a commitment to the Lord thy God, to love him with all your heart, with all their soul and all their might. Not everybody, but if there's not a commitment of people that have that commitment, Faith Baptist Church will not exist down the road as a church. It's going to compromise down the road. It's going to be a good old fellas club. That's what it'll become. And what Zechariah's saying, look at the past. Look at the examples you have to show you. If you're not committed with your whole heart to God, you're always going to fall into idolatry. Now maybe you won't bring idols into your home like Israel did. But money becomes your idol. Sports become your idol. You know, weekends become your idol. Vacations become your idol. There's a lot of things that can become your idol today. And so what I'm trying to show you, and I'm not criticizing the church today, I'm not criticizing Christians today, but it's the same principle is true today. And he's beginning to talk to them about this. You know, about the wholeheartedness. Not just you have the idea we need to rebuild the temple. But be committed. Be committed to that truth. Be committed to God in the feasts, in the worship, in the sacrifices. Be committed to what God has established in the old. Have your whole heart there. See, Haggai had preached his first message just 2 months earlier, and the people did obey the voice of the Lord. And if you remember correctly, Zerubbabel and Joshua, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him, and the people did fear the Lord. Then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, in the Lord's message of the people, saying, I'm with you, saith the Lord. That's the Lord says, now I'm with you, because you're doing what I ask you to do. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, and the spirit of Joshua, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and did the work in the house of the Lord of hosts, their God, in the 24th day of the 6th month, in the year of Darius the king. Man, they got pretty excited with the first message that came back. But now Zechariah comes on the scene and says, but if it's not a wholeheartedness, it's not going to last. Oh, right now you want to rebuild the temple. Right now you're pretty excited. And for 2 months you have done a good job rebuilding, beginning to rebuild the temple. The foundation was laid in the first 3 years, but 15 years, you're starting to make it look a little bit like a building, like a temple. You're starting to make it work. But he said, if you're not wholly committed, if you don't have a repentant heart of your sin, if there's not that obedience, it's not going to stay put. We could point out that to obey one specific instruction of the Lord is not the same thing as a wholehearted turning from sin and turning to Christ, which Zacharias calling for. He's saying it's not just enough to realize, yeah, I've been perfect. And it's wonderful you admit that. But there needs to be that call to repentance. That I'm sorry for my sin. You know, I see Christians today admitting, yeah, I guess I was wrong. And that's wonderful. But where's the repentance? Where's the brokenness over that sin? I've just let down God. I've just sinned against a holy, a perfect, a righteous God that sent his son Jesus Christ to die for my sins. Where's that brokenness? That's what he's talking about here. That wholeheartedness, that repentant attitude, that obedience. Again, besides the point, and probably it's an underestimate of the depth of repentance under Haggai's preaching. I mean, it looked like, man, there was some great repentance. I mean, the work started. But I think Zechariah comes in and said, but were you truly repentant of those 15 years that you came down and did nothing? I mean, was there a brokenness? Was there a heartfelt condition for God? You know, every repentance, every return to the Lord is imperfect at best. It's an expression that requires deepening. It must be done more sincerely and thoroughly. In a sense of a godly life consists of perfecting repentance, always doing it more effectively, always being more godly, if you call it that way, even more seeing that even the little things that I don't do, it's sin. It goes against a holy God. And you got to have that desire that I want God to be. Listen, I'm not asking for perfection. I don't think Zechariah was asking for perfection. But I think this message was crucial, because they needed to look at what they had done over the last 15 years. Nothing. And realize it was wrong. It was sin. And now they're starting to rebuild. But he said it's got to go more than just going back to rebuilding the temple. There's got to be somewhat of a brokenness. There's got to be somewhat of a feeling of, I've let my God down. I've disappointed my living Savior. See that, again, I don't know how to describe it for you, because I can't even describe it for myself, but he knew if there wasn't a whole commitment to God, to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, the temple might get rebuilt, but it wouldn't last long. How long did the, and then Nehemiah comes down and rebuilds the walls in 52 days, an amazing feat. But how long did Israel last after they rebuilt the temple and rebuilt the walls? You know how long it lasted? One more prophet. Zechariah is the 11th of 12 prophets. And so they get the temple and the walls rebuilt. And then Malachi comes on the scene. What happens at the end of Malachi? God goes silent for 400 years. He said, I've had enough. Why? I mean, how could that happen? I mean, they just rebuilt the temple. They've just rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem. I mean, it's going again. The Jews are back on the map. I mean, the temple's there. The feasts are there. Everything's back in place. I mean, Israel, I mean, Jerusalem, it's back. It's a city. It's the place of God. It's the Zion. It lasted for maybe a few years. And God said, I'm done now. And for 400 years, God went silent. Why? Well, I think they rebuilt the temple. And they had to be somewhat committed to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. I mean, they did it in 52 days with all that rubble, with all that. I mean, they had a sword in one hand and a trowel in the other hand. They were out there battling and sleeping on their scaffolding probably to get this job done. And in 52 days, they rebuilt all the walls of Jerusalem. What a tremendous task. What a leader Nehemiah was. But it's one more prophet, Malachi. I'm not sure the exact length. I'm going to look it up. But God went silent. Why? I think there wasn't that holy commitment. Oh, they rebuilt the temple. Once the temple got established and once Jerusalem got established, then they started to, God blessed them, and they started to roll in the money and the things, and there was no longer that great need for God. And after all, we have the temple. We have Jerusalem. But there wasn't that whole commitment, not to Faith Baptist Church, not to me, but to God. I tell you what, I think Zechariah has something here that's absolutely key in Christianity today. And I think you're seeing it fall apart a little bit at the seams. Because people are just, you know, they're just living like they want to live. And churches are doing things that the world does, and they're bringing the world into the church. And their idea is, if we bring the world into church, then we're going to bring the world into the church. And that's what they've done. But that's not what God ever asked for. God doesn't want us to bring the world into the church. He wants us to take the church to the world. And what I'm trying to say is, it made sense to me what Zechariah is saying. Unless there's that whole repentance, unless there's that holy obedience to the Lord, and I'm not saying perfect, but it's that commitment. There's the big word that people don't like today, commitment. To reading your Bible. To taking time to study God's Word. To take time to be a blessing and love within the congregation, one another. Oh yeah, it's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you time. You know, I'm appreciative of this, but Dixie has a whole list of jobs that need to be done. Bless her heart, she can't do it. And so Bob and my mom, and I'm going to ask Gary and me, we'll go out there. Why? So we can gain favor with God? No. It's just to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. And as I told Larry, and I, said this in Sunday school class, when you get the first one right, the second one will come into place. Then you can love your neighbor as God wants you to love your neighbor. And it won't even bother you. But if there's not that desire, you know, that was the theme when we started out, and it still is. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. I just had started studying this when I put this together. Zechariah is saying, if folks, you're rebuilding the temple, and I appreciate you listening to Haggai, in 2 months you've made a difference. But if there's not a wholeheartedness toward repentance, if you don't come to the point where you say, you know, those 15 years, I neglected God. Now, you don't have to relive them, but there needs to be a repentance. I've done this against the holy God, and it was wrong. And God, I'm so sorry. You know, we may say, well, I made a mistake, sorry. But a true holy repentance, a true obedience, that's what Moses was asking for when the children, to go into the promised land. If you'll just love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, number one, he'll defeat all your enemies. He's going to give you 300,000, I don't know how, it just blew my mind how much land God had promised Israel at that point. He said, all you have to do is obey me. Break down the idols. Somebody brings in your idols, this sounds harsh, but somebody brings in the idols in your home, you stone them. If you find a city that's worshiping with idols, kill them all with a sword. Then put them together in the middle and burn the city. Pastor, that's mean. Well, if you think about why God did that, because if you don't do that, they would just move toward the world. And that's exactly what they did. I guarantee you, they didn't stone a parent or a brother or a sister who brought an idol into the home. I don't know why the brother or sister or mother or father would bring the idol into the home, being a true Jew, seeing the blessing of God, but they did. They said, man, they're family. Can't do that. And it just grew. And it grew. And it grew. To where Israel is a little tiny fraction of what it was when God gave it to them. You don't think Israel, every day of their lives, realizes that they don't realize it, but there's a reason God judges them. I wouldn't want to live in Israel for anything. But one day, Jerusalem's going to be rebuilt. It's going to be a great city, the city of God. People are going to understand this, but I think that's the message today. He said, not just to rebuild the temple, not just to build Faith Baptist Church, but love the Lord our God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And when there's sin, there needs to be a true repentance of sin. And when there's a wrongdoing, you know, don't put it under the rug. Deal with it. I know you don't want everybody to know your sins. I understand that. But the sad part is God knows every one of your sins. And every one of my sins. So why not just take it to him? But not just to earn favor with God, out of true repentance. That's what I'm beginning to see in Christianity we're missing today. That maybe they had in the 1930s and the 1940s when they saw some of these wonderful revivals. There was repentance. That was a change of heart. That was a true passion for God. And you know what? I even saw it. I don't know, I haven't been to our Bible colleges lately. But the ones I've been to, I don't see it anymore. You know, I love some of these great institutions like Bob Jones, but boy, I remember a day where they used to have like 1,000 preacher boys. They have well over 100. I don't even know if they have that many anymore. There was a day at Maranatha when Dr. Sinom was there that it seemed like every kid was there, every guy there was either going to go into the ministry or go into the mission field. And now, very few even are training for the ministry. You say, what causes that over time? Loving the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. That's why I have some great examples. Dr. Cedarum, he loved the Lord his God with all his heart, with all his soul, with all his mind. He was nuts at times. He went out and played in a football game in a suit and a tie. And if you don't believe me, ask my wife. He never went anywhere where he didn't represent Jesus Christ in the most amazing way. And I used to think that guy was over the top. But it's why Maranatha was what it was. You know, I watched Brother Holmsher. He was just goofy. You had Bible time in here. He was eccentric. I mean, I couldn't even eat a piece of candy or drink a bottle of pop out when I traveled neighborhood Bible time. He told me when to go to bed, and he told me when to get up. He told me how long I had to get up and read my direct something fellowship with God. And I don't know how he knew it, but if you weren't doing it, you'd get a call from him, and he'd say you weren't doing it. I don't know how he knew. He had 50 evangelists out all over the United States. You know, I didn't appreciate him. He said if a church doesn't have Bible time, that church isn't right with God. He loved Bible time. But he loved the Lord, his God, with all his heart. I mean, he was up at 4 in the morning. I don't know how he did it, but he'd pray till 8 o'clock in the morning. Then he'd start at 11 and pray to 2. I mean, I'm talking prayer that I've never heard before. I know I sat in with him for 3 hours one day. It was the most incredible experience of my life. You talk about a guy committed. And for years, Bible time was so successful. It was so good. And I always wondered why. And then it dawned on me. Brother Holmsher loved the Lord his God with all his heart, with all his soul, with all his might. I'm working on that. I'm working on that in my own life. I want to love the Lord my God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind. When I'm wrong, I want to repent. I want to be broken. I want to be obedient. That's when things happen. I think that's what Zechariah is trying to tell the people. Oh, we're going to build the temple. You're going to get it done. I can see that. God's already told me that Jerusalem's going to be rebuilt. But how long will it last? If there's not a holy submission to God, loving the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. That's the message. Now, he's going to, just one more message out of that, and then we'll go through the 8 visions that God gave him. They are strange visions, but they all have a message. But he knew, if they didn't wholly serve the Lord with all their heart, the same thing would happen to this group, this remnant, that happened to Israel when they went into the promised land, that went into Israel who came out of Egypt. the principle still holds true today. If you don't love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, oh, some things will happen. You might be faithful to church, but we'll see where Faith Baptist Church is 20 years down the road. It takes a commitment, not from everybody, but there's got to be some that are committed wholly, wholly to serving the Lord their God, to being obedient to the Lord their God, to have a repentant heart. If we could find that, I think we have. I'm not worried about Faith Baptist Church at all. God will take care of us. God will bless that holy commitment. That's what Zechariah's asking for from these folks in this message between Haggai's two messages. Let's pray. Father, what a tremendous truth. I've had the privilege of being around some people who have been wholly committed to God. And I've seen what God can do and what God will do. But those same works, even today, aren't near what they used to be. And I tried to figure that out. And I think I put my heart, my finger on it. It's just not that same holy commitment to God. And I want Faith Baptist Church to be wholly committed. I want them to have a pastor that's wholly committed, that's repentant, that's obedient, that reads your word and studies your word and prepares from your word and shares your word. I want to be wholly committed. That's been my prayer for the last month, that I'll be wholly committed to the Lord my God. And that's been my prayer for my people, that they would be wholly committed to the Lord their God. I know it's difficult, but I see the results when there's not a whole commitment, just partial. Lord, I pray that you'll use us at Faith Baptist Church. Not everybody. I realize that. This message is preached to the ones who are committed enough to be here all day and stay for an afternoon service even, without even a meal I provide. So I'm so appreciative of them. Some of the greatest servants I know are in this auditorium right now. God, help them to be wholly committed. Help each one of us to examine our lives and be wholly committed in the areas of obedience and repentance and commitment. Help us to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind. As your head is bowed, let Julie